If you say yes to anything, you are saying no to a lot of other things. There are only a handful of personal development principles, and when we work on any of these, we're working on the same things that the top executives and leaders are working on in their own lives. Things like focus, making sure that you can say no to the good things so that you can say yes to the great things, and how to find out where your strengths are. I'm excited today to have executive coach John Chilkotowski with us, and you get to hear it from his mouth in 5, 4, 3, 2. Welcome to the Second Mix Podcast, where creators and aspiring entrepreneurs go to reflect, revise, and remix their lives and find the mindset they need to thrive without conforming. Nobody's better than you. Nobody's smarter than you, and you don't need anyone's permission to succeed. My name is Matthew Bennett, and I was a miserable fool until I discovered all this stuff and changed my life. Now I'm passing it on and paying it forward. At the end of this episode, there's going to be a call to action to take some little step to remix your life. Take advantage of these exercises and watch things begin to change for you. So you are an executive coach.
Yeah.
It's funny because I was thinking I need an executive coach, but I'm not an executive.
Well, so executive coach, I like working with senior leaders. I tend to work with a lot of them at big organizations. Executive coach is the title they're expecting. Right. I might call myself a leadership coach. I don't really call myself a life coach. But again, the difference is some people see life coach and they're like, oh, that's someone who's going to help me with relationships. That's someone who's going to help me with something. And I'm tending to focus myself on leadership. How does someone really see what they're doing in the world, what they want to make happen, what really matters to them? Those are the things that I'm really focusing on. So executive or not, Matt, there might be someone out there who calls himself executive coach who might be the right match. But anyway, food for thought.
Your thing, at least as I saw it when you wrote to me, is that saying no. How to say no, saying no to the right things. That seems to be very important to you.
Yeah.
How did that come to be?
I started my career as a consultant working with Fortune 500. I worked into leadership roles with nonprofits for years, including being an executive director. So along the way, there were a million different ways that I probably said yes when no was actually what I was saying inside. And maybe just to spin it a little bit, Matt, I was driving to work one day as a nonprofit leader. I'd helped them double the size of the organization in a year. And I pulled over to the side of the road. I wasn't feeling well. I thought I was having a heart attack. I wasn't. It was a panic attack. But for me, it was the same thing in the moment. Really like just out of left field, no idea, couldn't work really. And I had a mentor at the time who said, how would you consider working with a coach? And I said, yes. And, you know, Matt, I would have said yes to anything at that point. Let's just be clear. I didn't really understand what coaching was, but within weeks, I got back on track. I was able to work. Within months, I was doing better than ever. And that was the point at which I recognized, wow, there's so many leaders out there who are taking on too much for one reason or another. And so for me, it was very personal as I recognized I was saying yes to way too many things. And I see that now with a lot of leaders I work with. Getting at, why can't I just will myself to say no to this isn't necessarily the thing that's going to work either.
Are there any times that you come across two decision or a decision that each side seems equal? Each side seems just as good. You travel down both roads in your mind and you think, I could be happy at the end of either one of those roads.
Yeah, the questions I'm asking, these are takeaway questions too that I share with people.
Okay.
Is if it's not about somebody else, okay, if somebody else is in the picture and they're asking me for something, I'm going to say, am I looking for approval from this person? Because at the end of the day, that's likely at the root of a lot of the reasons we say yes when we actually want to say no.
Okay.
Right. But if it's just myself, I'm asking, how am I adding value to my life by saying yes here? Or no here. If I say yes to this, what am I saying no to? And I think that's the one that to get at the balancing part of this, Matt, that you were saying, how is this going to impact my clients, my family, my friends, my health, my sense of joy in the world? So the equal part of it, I would argue there's probably somewhere in there that those questions are going to shake that out And again, it's not about saying yes is wrong. It's being able to step back and reflect about what's really important to me, what's really important to these other people in my life. And then from that, step into action and make a decision that, that serves you and all these other people.
So a lot of this is, would you say, getting clarity on what you want? Like you said, take a step back. People use that phrase a lot, but it really does mean outside of this decision that I have to make.
Yeah.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but you take a step back and you say, what do I want out of life? What do I want out of all this stuff? And then once you've decided that, step back toward the decision and say, which is going to get me what I've just decided I wanted.
100%, Matt. 100%. And I would say that, yeah, that point of what do I want is going to come from reflection to begin with, right? What I find that, you know, I'll speak for myself, but also for the leaders I work with. There is this piece right now, and it's been happening for a while, but it seems like it's accelerating the speed at which we're working. And so what's easiest sometimes becomes the default. Is it, am I saving time if I just say yes to this? Am I avoiding a conflict if I say yes to this? And, you know, it's sure. Yeah, absolutely. But what's the other side of it? How am I helping this person learn and grow in their own leadership if I say yes to this? How is avoiding that conflict actually holding our relationship at a lower level, maybe more on the surface, where actually engaging that conflict right now could help us both create something even more than we have now?
Engaging in conflict, that still sounds scary, right? Like you're stepping toward the conflict.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a quote I read recently that I really like. It's, am I lying to you if I tell the same lie to myself? And so I guess for me, if I'm in a relationship and I'm saying, do you know what? I think it'd be so much better if we just don't talk about this. I think it'd be so much better if we don't go to this level of conflict. If we don't bring this up, conflict is actually an assumption, right? We're assuming that it's going to be hard. But I could imagine, you know, a really simple thing, a stranger, I'm in a movie theater, if we ever get back to movie theaters, I'm in a movie theater and I'm walking out of the bathroom and I have a piece of toilet paper on my shoe that I don't see. And a stranger walks up to me and says, hey man, you got a piece of toilet paper on your shoe, right? They took a little risk there at being able to point out the truth. And then they probably saved me a lot of embarrassment, right? But equally, there could have been five other people who were like, oh, see that guy with toilet paper? Oh my gosh, look at that. Or, you know, I want to tell him, but it just feels embarrassing to broach that topic. So I think what I'd like to pivot to is like, what's the opportunity here? Because if we're coming into that conversation with like, what's the opportunity here? Rather than how bad could this be? How could this be upset? That's a place where you're likely to get a better outcome in the first place, right?
Right, right. And it seems like if you're saying what's the opportunity and there's not much opportunity, then the question's already answered. Like why go into this conflict if this, the end result isn't worth the conflict that I'd have to go through?
Yeah. And the other piece there, I would say what just came up when you said that is, I think the question is, am I out of integrity with my own values if I don't speak up here? That tends to be the one, I'll speak for myself, but also for people I work with. When you come right down to it, if you say, am I in integrity right now in being quiet? Or am I, and most often it's no, right? That's what I'm hearing. But to your point, there could be a point where it's like, do you know what? Bringing this thing up right now actually would be horrible for me, for them. But I find that so many times we push so many things into that place. We say, oh, you know what? It's not the right time. It's not the right, I'm going to wait till, oh, they're upset. Oh, something happened. There's stress. We're busy. And so I want to, anybody who's listening say also, there's a point at which we just keep putting it off forever. And it tends to be if we just step in with something coming from a place of where the opportunity is, we're better. We're more likely to have the relationships, have the life we want most likely.
I like that. Yeah. If we're looking for any kind of an excuse to not embrace or engage in conflict, we're going to find it. We're going to find an excuse. Our brains are going to find that reason.
Yeah, it's going to find us. Absolutely, Matt.
I like that you brought integrity into it? Because would you say, I mean, questioning your values has to be right up there at the top along with opportunity. And yeah, that is a, like, is this the kind of person I want to be? What am I going to become on the other side of this? Not necessarily just, is it going to make me $1 million a year, but to say, who am I becoming?
Yeah, absolutely. If someone said to me, John, I'd really love to work with you. Oh, well, what do you want to work on? I really want to make $1 million. To me, it's like, that's not enough. It's got to be, well, what will that $1 million make possible for you or your family or your loved ones? Oh, well, you know, I'm going to get a yacht. Okay, well, what will that yacht get for you? At some point, if the motivation's not there at the core of something besides just a nice thing to have, they're not going to do the work. And I'll put myself in that boat as well. Like, I'm no pun intended. you know, if I don't have motivation for something, adequate motivation for something, I'm not going to do it. And so to your point, there's a lot of different ways to look at values. But in the end of the day, you could say, hey, the five people who know you best, what would they say about you? What would they say are your like key qualities that just undoubtedly everyone's going to say, oh, well, Matt's this or John's that. So sometimes I ask people if they're wondering, well, how can I really know what my values are? That's just one way to start, is asking some people around you. And you could just ask it of yourself. What do you know everyone in your life, Matt? I'm not putting you on the spot here, but like, what would anyone who really knows you well say, Matt values this? You could probably come up with 3 to 5 things, like just as a start for that. So I'll just throw that one out there. But then I would also add, from my experience, asking those kind of questions to people in different parts of your life will provide some interesting feedback. And by interesting, I mean things we probably don't own yet in our lives.
I like that as an exercise, actually, to just start asking, how do you say it? What do you think I value?
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think are the 3 strongest qualities that I bring? Values may or may not fit nicely into that, but from that, you can start to tease it apart. I did one thing, Matt, where I reached out to 25, 30 people in my life from the past 10, 15 years, from work, from personal. And there were a series of questions, but then the last 2 questions were, I didn't come up with these. The last 2 questions were, if John was a car, what make and model car would he be and why? The second one was, if John was a household appliance, what kind of household appliance would he be and why? Be descriptive, right? Those questions, I know it sounds silly, right? But those questions got so much good stuff in it for me of figuring out, oh, someone thinks I'm a 1935 Bugatti Roadster. Why? And then all the pieces that followed. Oh, somebody thinks I'm a Dyson vacuum cleaner. Why? Right? It has to do with innovation. Just to say, I don't know how those questions would come off, but I think those questions are cool because they're fun, right? They're fun and they have people think creatively. When I received the answers, man, I was laughing. I was laughing. And I also went, ooh, look at this pattern here that I didn't really see in myself.
There's some people I've got to ask some of these questions to. Like for me, I don't mind being on the spot in my podcast or anywhere else. So okay. I recently, 2 months ago, was in a position where I said, I'm going to expand my networking, start talking to people, start emailing people, just really go big, not for fame or anything, but just say, if I hear somebody say something awesome, I want to connect with them. Mm-hmm. And then I had like 5 opportunities at the same time. Out of all these people, oh, Matt, I've got this great, I need your help with this and all that kind of stuff. And I asked all 5 of them. Like after I made my decisions and went through all that, I was like, what value did you see in me? Why did you want me to work? Nobody really gave me an answer. Is it just because I'm a nice guy and I'm fun to talk to, or why do you want me? And nobody really had a good answer.
Could I ask you, Matt, you had said like you'd made a real intention to reach out and network. Like what if anything do you think was different about you maybe in that time?
During the time, I guess the fact that I did open up, I'm usually like, okay, I've got my opportunities and these are the key people that I need to keep networking with, but to never really just expand and say, let's pull more people into my network and see who filters in really. I mean, that's it. You know, yeah. You talk to 100 people and six of them are just going to adore you. And that's just the way that it goes. And you're going to get along with them as well. So just my guts and outreach, I didn't do anything audacious, but but I just reached out and said, hey, I like what you're doing. I think it's really cool. And I'd love to talk to you.
I could imagine if I was on the other end of that, I would receive that. I would at least receive your confidence. And also, you took the time, whereas a lot of people might not.
This is good. Yeah. This is like free coaching. That's why I started a podcast, John.
Brilliant. It's brilliant.
I go around and talk to the best people in the world at what they do. I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
So let's get a little bit more in depth on saying no to people, because I just said no 4 times in the last couple of months. Do you have a pattern or a system or a way to actually turn down opportunities that doesn't kill you for later?
Yeah. Well, the first part to me is, I think it is that we talked about that sort of balance before. I think it's recognizing the real cost. Is this going to cause my relationship to either sour or just stay where it is? Is this going to bring anxiety, stress, burnout? Like, all of those things, if I'm not able to say no more often or appropriately, that's where I'm going, right? I think for any of us. And I think, again, that this piece of saying yes is saying no to other things. So generally, you know, I have this activity I do with people, and I just call it left column, right column. I use left column, right column for a lot of things, and you've probably heard other activities that are similar. But in here, I say, okay, let's, in the left column, put everything that could go wrong if you say no more often, right? So people might say, well, people might not like me as much as they do now. I could face more conflicts that are messy. I could be seen as being difficult. I could lose a relationship. I could lose my job, right? Like this, all those things could be in there somewhere. And in the right column, put everything that could go right if you say no more often. Well, I could finish every day knowing that I worked on what mattered most. And I mean, that's just one, right? Like, how many of us can say that most days, right? People might respect me for and trust me for being clear on my priorities. I could be seen as being confident. I could get a promotion. I could build relationships and have others ask me to be their mentor. And so, you know, these are just examples. But I think within any of us, there's this piece of, there's probably something we say yes to a certain situation or a person or an authority figure or something like that, that we might say yes to more often than no. And that's the place where I would get even more specific with, like, well, in this particular, you know, this is done in reflection, not all in the moment,
right?
But it's like, you know, in reflection, who am I saying yes to that saying no to would be healthier? What's the upside? What's the downside? And then it's, you know, and this is where it gets a little tricky, but I might say, what's one thing you can start saying no to as an experiment? Right. And just as an experiment. So we're talking about try it once, try it twice, try it 3 times. And then recognizing the motivation behind us is what's possible to say yes to when you do say no in that case. So that was a bunch, Matt. I'll pause there.
No, that's good. I love that you have so many exercises, because in this podcast where I try to give people exercises all the time. So we'll talk about that at the end, because maybe you can give one exercise to everybody. But yeah, that is a lot to absorb. And then the actual act of saying no.
Yeah.
How tricky does that get?
Yeah, sure. So some tips on this, maybe if I could offer just tips and just this one. One thing is, again, if we're looking for approval, something it tends to help people in saying no is being polite, right? So being able to even say, like, thanks for asking, dot, 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 you know, however you might say no. I would also say being direct. And I know this is going to, right after I said being polite, but being direct. So saying, you know, thanks for asking, but no, I can't. Or thanks for asking, no, I don't want to. But not apologizing and giving like this laundry list of reasons, that's the thing that really makes the no less clear to you and to them. It's like, oh, well, can you do this? Oh, no, I got this thing. And then a family and, oh, the weather's not good. And you see what I mean? Like, it just starts to sound like, why are you telling me all this? You know, I just wanted you to come check on my cat. You know what I mean? Like, right?
Another thing about that laundry list of excuses about why you can't do something is that turns into your objections for this person to overcome so that you can do it. Instead of just a clear no now, they say, well, if I can overcome those three things, then you're not going to have a reason to say no. And then you could actually get roped in by your own language.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Also, remembering that your self-worth doesn't depend on how much you do for other people. I think that's the tough one. That's somewhere in the core of this, right? Is if I do more for other people, then I'm going to feel better about myself. And I think that's the thing that I'm not saying it's a, you know, somebody's going to try this once and it's all going to click. It's probably going to be with us for life in some way, but to be able to recognize it more quickly, this is the kind of situation, this is the kind of person, this is the kind of thing that where I would say yes. And then at the end, I'll share a practice that might be helpful with this, Matt.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. That self-worth topic can be an entire podcast episode in itself, right? I get caught up in feeling like I've got to do something to feel that.
Right.
And trying to not meditate. I do other things besides meditate, but to go find that self-worth in my head without having to do something for someone or to have a list of reasons why I'm worth it, even just to say I'm worth it because I'm alive. I'm here.
Yeah. I had someone, they gave the metaphor, I guess it was, they said that it was like they woke up every day with their pockets filled with coins. And then every day they would give them out through the things they did for other people. And at the end of the day, their pockets were empty. And so the next day they were filled again. And now they felt they had to keep giving out these coins to keep being liked, approved, in a good place in relationship, not rejected. And so that's the, I don't know what that evokes for you, Matt, but it's like, for me, when I heard that, I was like, yeah, I've felt that for sure.
Yes. I think, yeah, I'm kind of like that. And then I was thinking, if I don't give any of that money away, I'll feel great about myself. I don't know how to figure that in. I might cut that out of the episode. this will be sliced.
Fair enough.
I'll leave your analogy in there, but
no worries, Matt. No worries.
We are good. That was just the first thing I thought was, wow, I'll stop doing things for people. I'll feel great about myself. That's not where we were going with that, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So in saying no, I just want to say this to you and my listeners, because I just did this and had probably the best no experience that I've ever given. And that was a guy had been asking me, work for me. He's like, I can't do this without Matt Bennett. I don't want to do this without Matt Bennett. I said no to him. And I was like, look, you like me because I'm an entrepreneur. You like me because I'm free to study all the stuff that I study. I'm free to spend all the time with my kids that I want. You like me for all these reasons. As soon as I'm working 45 hours a week for you in that office, you will hate me. Like, that's it. I said, I would rather go back to being a musician for $10,000 a year than to work in an office. And I said, it's not you. Like, this is it. Now, it's funny. He said, that kind of response proves to me that you're going to be making seven figures before in no time. He's like, that proves to me. But then he said, but it only makes me want you more.
You kind of said it, Matt, but like, what do you think the key question for you is and how you said no there? Cause that you just gave a great example.
The key, you mean in my response to him?
Yeah, like, what were you asking yourself? You know,
I think I was asking myself, who would I be if I take this job?
Nice. Yeah.
I really love the life of waking up with my 6-year-old and 3-year-old, and then it's a nice summer day and we just go play outside, and I take my journal and I write in my journal while they're running around in the backyard. Like, there's nothing better than that. And I truly don't care if I'm making $5,000 a year or $500,000 a year. That's what I want.
Yeah. I'm with you on that one, Matt. I've got 2 teen daughters and I feel the same way.
Is there anything else you wanted to cover?
No, I think that's great, Matt. I know you've got the 43-second question.
Yes, I'm gonna
I put some thought into. So that was awesome. That was really good to reflect on.
Well, I'm glad. Thank you. Thank you for actually working out the exercise. That's great. I'll start timing you then. No, well, well, let me ask you first about the exercise. What exercise would you give to my listeners?
Oh, yeah. This might sound really simple, and I would encourage people to try it. Even if it sounds too simple, just try it once. So being able to get really specific, again, like I was saying before, about either the person or the specific situation or the kind of thing where you might be saying yes and you'd rather say no, is being able to, whether you want to close your eyes or not, but like actually imagining that scenario. And this is probably, you know, by yourself at first, but actually practice saying it out loud. So being able to say, you know, no, Jenny, no, Jimmy, I can't do that. Thanks for asking. I'm not going to be able to do that. Just to be able to practice that a few times. I know it sounds simple, but I find that when we do that and we're imagining that person or that situation, when it comes up, it's just like if you're an athlete and you practice imagining yourself going through the moves and you imagine yourself being successful. It's not saying it's going to make it easy, but it's going to make it hopefully just past that point where your judgment until now will cut you off and say, oh, don't say bad things happen. Right. It'd be like, oh, you can just try it once. So that's it's really simple, but I will, for the people try that when, and then other people will try it with other people, right? Not the person in question, but you know, a friend or someone else in their life. And give that other person a chance to respond, you know? So again, right. You have the, you know, what's the worst case? Oh, they're going to really, are they really going to say, oh, you're no longer my friend. You're no longer, are they going to yell at you? No, probably not, you know? So anyway, that's just a simple thing I'd say, Matt. It sounds very simple. I would say it's likely to help people who have a very specific situation.
Okay. That is an excellent exercise, actually. I might start doing it. It is, as a musician, I rehearse on the piano if I'm going to play something. I rehearse. And so that when it comes time to play in front of an audience, I execute.
Yes.
And even if I'm nervous or scared or embarrassed, my fingers still do what they're supposed to do. So this is kind of the same thing, but my mouth will do what it's supposed to do. My mouth will do, my mouth will do what I've rehearsed. So
Matt, just can I ask, what's your favorite piano style music?
Blues and then like the 50s, 60s rock, honky tonk. I've played blues and country piano. They're so similar.
Nice. Does Boogie Woogie make its way in there?
Boogie Woogie definitely makes its way in there.
Awesome. I'm a real fan of Boogie Woogie. So yeah.
I have a trip planned. Jerry Lee Lewis has a house in Memphis. I mean, his house where he lives, but he lets you go on tours of his house. And he's living. I mean, he lives in the house and his son runs it. Huh. But they say sometimes he comes down when you're doing a tour. So I was going to go play one of his songs really well on the piano and see if I can get him to come down while I'm on a tour of his house. Nice. So I've got that trip almost planned for this fall. I'm going to Memphis and Nashville.
Well, good luck with that, Matt. That sounds pretty awesome.
Thank you. I'll let you know if I get to meet Jerry Please Lee do. Lewis. All right. So I have one last question for you.
Okay.
If you had 43 seconds to have the entire world on stage or on the phone that everybody in the world could hear you and listen to your message, what would you tell them?
So I believe we are all leaders with worthy goals and dreams that will positively impact the world. And at this time in history, we need leaders who are willing to aim big, fail again, and keep getting up, learning, growing, and contributing at even greater levels. And my question for everyone is, what is your one worthy goal that will change people's lives? And what will that require of you? In what way must you change, learn, and grow to do that? And I would say, welcome to your life's work, and thank you for living it.
Thank you very much. So let me ask you, where can we find you if we need to get a hold of you?
Yeah, the easiest way to get a hold of me, Matt, is my website, www.northstar-coaching.com.
Thank you so much, John, and thank you, everyone else. I'll be here every Monday and Thursday until Gary V buys the New York Jets. Although I should be careful because that is probably going to happen. Thank you for listening to the Second Mix podcast. Once again, I am Matthew Bennett. If you are on Apple, please give me 5 stars and leave a review. Whatever platform you use, you can subscribe to hear the latest episodes of the show. I answer every email sent to matt@secondmix.net, and I love to hear from listeners. If you know of anyone who will find this show helpful or useful, please share this with them. I can't reach them without your help. Take steps that will make your week incredible. Until we meet again, keep reflecting, revising, and remixing your life. I'll see you soon.